Smart operations. Technology for supply chains does not relate solely to data creation, management, and analysis. Crucial to implementing and maximizing the data optimization efforts are technologies that physically impact specific supply chain tasks. The Digital Capabilities Model, DCM, for supply networks places smart operations as one of its 6 Level 1 capabilities. It uses the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary definition of smart operations, a highly responsive, adaptive, digitized, and connected function integrated into the digital supply network that synchronizes all aspects of production and operations. This function drives significant performance and safety improvements in production, particularly in regard to quality and maintenance, repair, and overhaul. This concept is highly related to Industry 4.0, and it requires high levels of connectivity between products, assets, and upstream and downstream channels to enable better, more analytically driven decision-making. Some supply chain literature even uses smart operations as a synonym for a digital transformation as a whole. Here we will treat it as a transformation capability as is done in the DCM. To understand smart operations, it is important to understand the distinctions between digitization, digitalization, and automation. Digitization is creating a digital representation of a physical object, such as an electronic version of an invoice. This level simply makes data machine readable. Digitalization is digitization, plus making a previously human-driven transaction into an online one that is essentially the same but more efficient. Automation is digitalization plus redesign of transactions to omit the need for human intervention, except as needed for proper checks and balances to manage exceptions, or to determine how to leverage opportunities or address threats. The digital transformation goes way beyond simple digitization of trade documents or even digitalization of control systems, such as remote sensors triggering an automated response. The digital transformation, or Industry 4.0, goes a step further, including by ensuring that electronic documentation travels seamlessly among supply partners, trade intermediaries, and customs authorities. Demand data from customers may feed directly into not only finished goods planning, but also raw materials and suppliers' planning systems. Digitalized control systems are moved from being locally controlled to being controlled remotely and centralized, such as by using a control tower. In the DCM, the vision of the smart operations capability is that human and machine intelligence will augment each other to drive continual improvement in operations. For example, a command center director should be able to manage factory performance in real time, only intervening for exceptions from external sources. The director should be able to make forward-looking decisions by analyzing scenario results. Take a few minutes to look at smart operations on the den.a-s-c-m.org site. Click Smart Operations in the circular graphic and note the subsets of smart operations: augmented workforce, total operations synchronization, agile operations execution, efficient operations support, operations command center, and operations strategy. Next, on the right, click on Learn More, and then scroll down to review the personas: operations command center director, material manager, hybrid machinist, and their day-in-the-life scenarios. Be sure to go over both the before and after versions, noting the pains each persona is facing, and the vision of a future that is much more productive and fulfilling. Next, scroll down and review the technology enablers for each of the Level 2 capabilities for smart operations. For example, for the Level 2 Operations Command Center capability, a supply chain visibility and reporting tool is recommended. We will now discuss many of the crucial concepts related to or necessary for smart operations. Product Lifecycle Management. Product Lifecycle Management, PLM, is a process of managing new product introductions, managing the life cycles of products throughout their phases, and creating and executing end-of-life plans. PLM can be managed using software of the same name, or can be performed using a mix of manual tools and existing systems. In addition to helping manage the product life cycle for a type of product, PLM also has tools to help manage an individual life cycle of a unit or a batch. PLM often includes tools to help planners with product, component, and bill of material versioning, effectivity plans, and traceability. PLM can help track products by production lot numbers or serial numbers all the way to the customer for individual units or batches. This helps enable upgrades, recalls, and reverse logistics for units or batches at any stage of production. PLM may feature a sustainability component, especially if products at the end of their lives must or should be reclaimed or recycled. PLM, from a product and brand management perspective, builds off of the product life cycle stages of introduction, growth, maturity, and decline, but adds sub-steps. And some models also highlight three distinct phases: beginning of life, middle of life, and end of life. Beginning of life includes a new component of research and development plus the introduction stage. The middle of life phase encompasses growth, maturity, and decline. The end of life phase is new to the product life cycle, but implied by it. Exhibit 2-8 shows these phases and lists potential substeps in PLM. Specific substeps may vary. Exhibit 2-8, Product Life Cycle Management. Note the many substeps for the beginning of life phase. The middle of life phase shows how the focus area during growth starts by ensuring that manufacturing and distribution are capable and have the capacity for the demand. As the product moves into maturity, this shifts to a focus on how the product is used. The focus shifts to service as the product enters decline. Decline also features phase-out or end-of-life planning. Actual phase-out ends the decline phase. The organization may be involved in helping recycle the products at the end of their lives, and this could include recovering rare or hazardous materials, remanufacturing, repurposing or selling manufacturing equipment, reassessing suppliers, and so on. Enterprise Resource Planning. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines Enterprise Resource Planning, ERP, as follows: framework for organizing, defining, and standardizing the business processes necessary to effectively plan and control an organization so the organization can use its internal knowledge to seek external advantages. An ERP system provides extensive databanks of information, including master file records, repositories of cost and sales, financial details, analysis of product and customer hierarchies, and historic and current transactional data. Most modern ERP systems are transactionally focused and have modular options, such as a materials management module, that can be included to extend their functionality. They feature a central database to which all modules refer, so the same master data or other record can use where it is needed, rather than needing duplicate records that could get out of synchronization easily. ERP systems are designed for interoperability with their own modules and with other internal organizational systems and those of partners. Such systems may provide capabilities like advanced planning and scheduling as an internal module, or they can interface with best-of-breed systems to provide these capabilities. ERP systems are regularly improving their coverage, and many feature cloud computing, AI, WMS, MES, DRP, and other applications. Upgrading ERP may be part of getting to level 5 supply chain maturity, the orchestrated supply chain. In general, most organizations do not use one ERP system exclusively for all internal digital capabilities. In general, attempting to have just a single system would take too long and cost too much to be worth the effort it would take, especially in organizations that have grown by mergers and acquisitions, because each party may have a different ERP vendor. Instead, interoperability is the key to seamless technology interaction. Advanced planning and scheduling. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines advanced planning and scheduling, APS, as follows: techniques that deal with the analysis and planning of logistics and manufacturing during short, intermediate, and long-term time periods. APS describes any computer program that uses advanced mathematical algorithms or logic to perform optimization or simulation on finite capacity scheduling, sourcing, capital planning, resource planning, forecasting, demand management, and others. These techniques simultaneously consider a range of constraints and business rules to provide real-time planning and scheduling, decision support, available to promise, and capable to promise capabilities. APS often generates and evaluates multiple scenarios. Management then selects one scenario to use as the official plan. Advanced planning and scheduling may also be called an advanced planning system. APS applications use analytical tools such as modeling, optimizing techniques, and simulations. APS usually includes user-friendly planning tools such as interactive scorecards and drag-and-drop functionality in its interfaces. These advanced tools help plan at the strategic, tactical, and operational levels. The strategic level is where high-level decisions and system design occurs. At this level, APS systems may perform logistics supply chain network design. For a manufacturing company, this would involve determining the location of factories, warehouses, and distribution centers, including which aspects of the supply chain will be owned and which will be contracted from a third party. The tactical level is where strategy is refined into discrete plans and optimization occurs. At this level, APS helps optimize production, distribution, and inventory across the supply chain. The operational level is where plans are refined to the most granular level and then executed. At the operational planning level, APS creates demand forecasts, demand plans, inventory plans, transportation plans, and optimized daily production schedules. For example, at this level, it may include finite scheduling software that sends optimized work order loads to manufacturing equipment. Note, however, that while APS supports planning at each of these levels, it does not execute transactions itself. Exhibit 2-9 is a simplified diagram that visualizes the role that APS, as a process and a system, occupies between the demand and supply planning side of manufacturing planning and control, MPC, and its enterprise resource planning, ERP, support system, and manufacturing execution activities and systems. Exhibit 2-9, APS process flow. As seen in the exhibit, APS uses a holistic, optimization-based approach to operations and supply chain planning. This approach gives APS more leverage in integrating the customer service, inventory, efficiency, and financial objectives of the business. APS systems remove pressure from bottlenecks in systems. In a multi-plant environment, when the same item can be manufactured at different facilities, APS optimizes and accelerates the use of available materials, labor, and plant capacity. At the same time, it satisfies business objectives to create schedules for what should be produced, when and where production should occur, and the sequence of events that should occur. APS creates holistic supply chain plans that incorporate long-range aggregate planning and short-term detailed scheduling. APS also makes trade-offs between conflicting objectives as determined by the strategic priorities of the firm. One such trade-off is performing mass customization while keeping costs down. The combination of several ERP systems with an APS system makes the most of current ERP investments while opening up a new stage of supply chain maturity for a firm. The APS system derives an optimal solution for the supply chain network and provides each ERP system with production requirements and optimal start dates for production runs, and it leaves the ERP system to work out the details of how it will meet this high-level plan. The benefits of APS systems can be achieved only if input data are complete, accurate, and timely. APS needs to enable finite scheduling, but if capacities and internal lead times, including non-value-added times, are not recorded in the system or are unrealistic, then the output will be unreliable, garbage in, garbage out, or GIGO. Transformation professionals need to assess data maturity. Manufacturing execution systems. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines manufacturing execution systems, MES, as follows. Programs and systems that participate in shop floor control, including programmed logic controllers and process control computers for direct and supervisory control of manufacturing equipment, process information systems that gather historical performance information and then generate reports, graphical displays, and alarms that inform operations personnel what is going on in the plant currently and what occurred during a very short history into the past. Quality control information is also gathered, and a laboratory information management system may be part of this configuration to tie process conditions to the quality data that is generated. Cause and effect relationships can thereby be determined. The quality data at times affects the control parameters that are used to meet product specifications, either dynamically or offline. MES takes inputs from APS systems in the forms of optimized schedules based on capacities and capabilities and uses them to guide automated systems and inform workers of developing issues. Integration of MES with IoT can unlock new levels of data visibility and usability. Automation. administrative or back-office information technology automation is already fairly mature due to the many advances of ERP and related systems over the years. An important example of supply chain automation is the use of advanced ship notices, ASNs, to automatically provide supply chain parties with automated shipment tracking and delivery notifications. Implementation of IoT across the supply chain allows for increasing use of automation for operations technology instead of just in the manufacturing arena. Automation can, for example, greatly increase the capacity and efficiency of a warehouse. However, some warehouse automation systems may struggle to meet the needs of direct-to-customer shipments, which feature smaller shipments of more varied items to vastly more endpoints. Automation such as use of a supplier portal can also be applied to data collection and analysis efforts and other critical tasks related to information flow. Data can be captured and generated through reports that run along a predetermined and consistent schedule, with analysis of the data being used to highlight unexpected or unacceptable performance indicators or to populate a dashboard to supply employees with pertinent role-specific information. Automation can be used to create purchase orders in response to received requisitions and release them to suppliers, or it can send reminders to suppliers when an expected acknowledgement of receipt or ASN has not been received. It can also be used to reconcile differences between goods receipts and invoices, and to consolidate demand from multiple sources to reach minimum order quantities. Automation also applies to inspection and testing. Automated inspection techniques have been used for electronic testing, mechanical gauging, chemical analysis, and non-destructive testing, to name a few. Properly designed and programmed, automated inspection and gauging systems can be very fast, accurate, and repeatable. One example of automated inspection is machine vision. Machine vision cameras can be programmed to automatically verify dozens of features on 100% of the products or assemblies produced in as little as 1 second per unit. Precision laser sensors provide micron-level measurement accuracy without ever contacting the part. There have been significant advances in these areas in recent years, and the tools are becoming more powerful. Robotic process automation and hyperautomation. Robotic process automation, RPA, does not refer to actual robots such as those used in a plant, but instead to the use of software bots to automate repetitive interactions with customers or with other automated systems. This includes interactions with customers or third parties, such as responses to frequently asked questions or service inquiries. It can take the form of automated emails, texts, or online chat functions. The primary benefit is a large reduction in customer service labor costs. The primary issue is that such systems are not as good as a real person, and some customers may be dissatisfied. Some issues will still need to be escalated to a real person. Hyperautomation refers to the combination of RPA with machine learning, algorithms that help computers navigate complex tasks without needing additional programming, and artificial intelligence to go far beyond just automating repetitive tasks people have traditionally done. The idea is to free up people for data interpretation, critical thinking, and decision-making. Hyperautomation promises to eliminate human interactions in low-value processes, and can even be used to determine which processes are able to be automated in this way. It is a key step in enabling the needed maturity to develop a digital twin, electronic counterparts of physical resources or assets, of every aspect of an organization, called a digital twin organization, so that process interactions can be simulated in real time to find where value is being created. Warehouse management systems. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a warehouse management system, WMS, as follows: a computer application system designed to manage and optimize workflows and the storage of goods within a warehouse. It often interfaces with automated data capture and enterprise resource planning systems. While this definition refers to control of a single warehouse, many WMS can control and optimize movement and storage of inventory at multiple warehouse locations and also provide yard management. Automated data capture refers to technologies such as barcode scanners, magnetic readers, radio frequency identification, RFID devices, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth low energy, BLE, and cellular that are used to identify products in a database as they move through a system, for example, from production to warehouse to transit to customer. To gain productivity improvements, the WMS, the warehouse layout, and all enabling technologies for automating data capture and inventory movements should be thoroughly mapped in advance. While WMS was initially only for warehousing, its role has expanded to include replenishment at the manufacturing point of use for fabrication, machining, and assembly lines, as well as areas such as light manufacturing, postponement, and transportation, labor, and order management. This functional overlap makes selection more complex and integration more challenging. However, a WMS selection should hinge on three key areas: directed picking, directed replenishment, and directed put away. WMS performs these tasks by tracking and analyzing item quantity, location, unit of measure, and order data. A WMS is essentially a planning tool. Its database includes product profiles, including, for example, SKUs, stock keeping units, characteristics, container size, container quantity, barcodes, target or min/max inventory levels, replenishment triggers/strategies, and hazmat restrictions, slot locations. Labor standards used to plan warehouse activities. Information about shippers and customers. With that information, the WMS can manage orders and inventory, organize warehouse work, and track and analyze inventory and labor performance and scheduling. Exhibit 2-10 describes the wide range of activities a WMS can perform. Implementing a quality WMS can significantly improve productivity and reduce the frequency of errors or fraud in comparison to traditional methods. In traditional systems, stock pickers may find the wrong item in a location or may find that an item is out of stock. Salespersons with old data may promise what is unavailable, leading to rush orders. Special orders may wait instead of being cross-stocked. Fraud or theft may occur, for example, deliberate overpicking. Other WMS benefits include the following: offers competitive advantage such as faster cycle times through cross-docking or automated checking replacing manual checking. Satisfies retail requirements such as by adding automatic identification technologies. Improves accuracy by automating put-away and pick location verification. Supports high transaction processing capacity for global e-commerce. Optimizes pick path and movement of pickers throughout the warehouse, receiving, put away, and shipping. Satisfies complex international handling needs such as bonded warehouses and free trade zones. Increases distribution efficiency, for example, coordinating pallet sizes and bulk discounts. For example, 80 items per pallet equals 80 item order for discount. Reduces safety stocks, optimizes use of space, allows planners to plan for regional inventory closer to the customer or to position inventory in anticipation of seasonality or promotion activity. Provides for system design, selection, training, and change management that can mitigate risk. Warehouse control systems. A warehouse control system, WCS, communicates directly with automated materials handling equipment, acting as an intermediary between the WMS and systems such as RFID/code scanning, automated storage, picking, sorting, and conveyance systems. The WCS operates in real time, issuing commands and integrating systems. For example, it may facilitate material-to-picker methods that use robots to move materials to stationary pickers to improve velocity and safety. It also provides a single user interface that warehouse staff can use. Unlike a WMS, a WCS tends to control systems within only one facility, computerized maintenance management systems. As the name implies, computerized maintenance management systems, CMMS, are software programs that monitor assets, such as machinery in a factory or delivery vehicles, and use inputs from the asset itself, production/delivery schedules, labor availability, and maintenance, repair, and overhaul, MRO inventory to optimize work orders and maintenance procedures. In many cases, an IoT platform is needed to integrate the various protocols for each specific asset and its enabling devices, and this is a prerequisite for using a CMMS to do predictive and prescriptive maintenance. Such a maintenance system can reduce unexpected breakdowns and optimize the lifespan of equipment. The process optimizes availability and use by taking advantage of planned downtimes to execute procedures. By increasing overall efficiency and productivity while simultaneously increasing the lifespan of equipment, CMMS systems reduce costs and increase sustainability. Responsive Demand Supply Matching, RDSM. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines responsive demand supply matching, RDSM, as the ability to sense demand exceptions, target revenue opportunities, and resolve supply challenges through planning of constrained resources, material, labor, and equipment capacity, and the allocation of supply across the network to best meet demand aligned with the business strategy. While APS provides plant-level coordination, RDSM provides similar coordination at the supply network level. Given high-quality master data and an ongoing master data management process, RDSM will provide real-time visibility into supply disruptions and unmet demand. This will allow executing responses or contingency plans, such as activating alternate supply sources. RDSM enables automated decision-making, though scenario planning exercises that model demand-shaping opportunities, inventory rebalancing activities, alternate product allocations, and other market opportunities. Examples of disruptions that may be handled through automated decision-making when using RDSM include opportunities to increase market share, such as shifts in customer preferences and capitalizing on competitors' supply disruptions, changes in demand signals, which may be governed through demand prioritization rules, unplanned events or exceptions as an order moves through the supply chain, issues due to inventory shortfalls and/or working capital constraints. The use of RDSM is being driven by increases in product and service customizations, differing supply responses required by micro-customer segments, and shortened cycle times. RDSM is a component of the Digital Capabilities Model, DCM, for supply networks, which is discussed elsewhere.